listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live on a Thursday and live from Las Vegas, 225 FSR stations broadcasting across this great nation. Might feel like a slow day. I don't think so. I think there's one story. You might think it's one of the big stories, one of them. No, it's the big story. I'm excited to get into it. And we're joined every day. This guy doesn't miss days. He is my favorite Joe. He's in Los Angeles, Jonas Knox.
Always good to be here, RJ. And yes, on a day in which we have got promising news out of the NASCAR world, Major League Baseball trying to figure out what their plan of attack is as far as this season goes, what is the Vegas lead here on this Thursday?
Well, listen, what do we do with Straight Out of Vegas? It is two things. One, if you're a bettor, you listen for the money. If you're not a bettor, you're a fan, you listen to no more than your buddies. Well, both of them deliver here. The Las Vegas lead is Andy Dalton's release from Cincinnati. And what happens after this will affect the 2020 season, I think, in a major way.
Yeah, that was the news that came out earlier today. The Bengals releasing a longtime quarterback, Andy Dalton, earlier today, spent 9 years with the franchise.
All right, so the first question is, why no trade? Which is another way of saying, why didn't any team want to trade for Andy Dalton? And this is all about one thing, his contract. You look at his contract, it was almost $18 million. So everyone looked and said, do I want to give assets up as a team to pay Andy Dalton $18 million? And the market said, no, there's no interest. There's no market at that price. They figured each team with an interest in him, and I think there's multiple, we'd rather have him for a lot less. How much would the less be? Now, obviously, a team could have stepped up and said $18 million and you need us to trade. Okay, fine, Cincinnati. But everyone was betting, no one's going to want to do that. So now he's free. He's unencumbered. How much does it cost in draft capital and trade capital to get Andy Dalton? Nothing. You get him now if you can convince him to come play for you. How much money is it going to be? Jonas, tell me if you think this feels right. My guess is between $6 and $8 million. I would say it's right around Mariota's contract. What do you think?
Yeah, that feels about right. That seems like the right number.
So we're talking about upwards of $10 million or even more of difference between Andy Dalton plus what you would have had to trade for to get him, what you would have had to give up. So it makes sense. People said, let's see what happens, and here we are. But at this price, and let's just say $8 million, at $8 million, I believe that signing Andy Dalton is a winning move, and it would be a big deal for the team that did it. And to me, it's very similar to the seventh round of the draft versus undrafted free agents. So let's think about that a second. In the seventh round, anyone who's not drafted, so ultimately undrafted free agents, and we're seeing that now a bunch, 32 teams or so said, no thanks, seventh round, we got to give up a seventh round pick to get you, to lock you in, But then the minute the draft's over, the minute there is that group of undrafted free agents, it is a wooing. It is like bringing in a number one type player in the state to Ohio State or Texas. These teams in the NFL, Jonas, and I'm sure you've seen this, wouldn't you agree that it is a recruitment effort when they can get those undrafted free agents now for no draft choice, but rather just get them. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I've talked to people who've said that a lot of those conversations happen while the draft is still going on. If they contact a player they know they're not going to take and they feel like he could potentially be there as a free agent, those conversations are happening well beforehand. Don't worry, if you go undrafted, we'll bring you in.
And it's something that there is competition for those undrafted free agents. People right. are wooing them, and literally, when they had to pay a seventh-round pick, it was nah, no. No one wanted him. So it goes to show you, Andy Dalton for $18 million? No. Andy Dalton for $8 million? Hey, steak dinner on us. Let's talk about it. Now, how good is Andy Dalton? Because it's really the question. He's not $18 million good, but I think he's $8 million good and more. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. And let's look backwards. And I know it's going backwards. And we're going to have to ask ourselves, how good is he today? But Andy Dalton, 3 Pro Bowls, 5 playoff appearances for the Bengals. Let's repeat, 5 for the Bengals. He's the all-time franchise leader in passing touchdowns over 200. Fourth quarter comebacks, game-winning drives. Field Yates from ESPN had a nice list on this. Second, all-time passing yards. Hey, Carson Wentz, obviously Ken Anderson. I mean, it's not like there hasn't been any Bengals. This guy's had a really solid career. Now, the question is, what does he have left? I would make the case in 2018, and Jonas, I want to get your perspective from the eyes of the fan. 2018, so not last year, but the year before, I would make the case that he was playing as well as he ever had the first half of the year. A.J. Green got hurt. Obviously, their tight end had been hurt for years. Eifert, who was key. And in the second half of the year, he really dropped off. Did he get old all of a sudden in the middle of the year? I don't think so. I think it was a matter of there's just so few weapons. And this year, another example, with a new coaching staff. I mean, I don't downgrade Andy Dalton all that much for what I've seen the end of 2018 and the half of 2019 that he played. I think he's pretty much where he was in his career, maybe a smidge down. He has gotten a little older, obviously, but I don't think he's reached that point yet. To me, it's more about his supporting cast hasn't been as good. What do you think?
I think he's immediately one of the better backups, in the NFL, borderline a starting quarterback in the right situation, and I think he could have success. And I think Ryan Tannehill was the blueprint a year ago. Before that, it was Nick Foles, that if you put them in a situation, those guys can thrive if it's the right situation for them, and you can get quality football out of them still.
So you were saying Nick Foles, and who was the other example?
Ryan Tannehill, last year with Tennessee.
So now that's interesting. Tannehill right now and Steve Fezzik, pregame.com. He's on the show Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Steve has Tannehill as his 11th best quarterback. I think that's a little high, but let's say that's the range in the NFL. Is Tannehill clearly better, in your opinion, than Andy Dalton?
No, not clearly.
So you're saying potentially in the right spot that he's about as good as Tannehill, who just signed, what, a $70 million contract?
Yeah.
And the theory is you get him for 1 year for 8 is the theory. I think that's the edge of where I'm at, where I would say even if you think Andy Dalton, if he gets a normal good situation, could be the 16th, 17th best quarterback. I think that's where I'm at. So let's call that the range, right? You could say 11th is really optimistic. You could say, let's say 20th. Most people would think he's at least that good if he's in the right situation. And I'm going to go right in the middle. Okay. So this is interesting. So really effectively what you're saying is about half the teams in the NFL would improve their starting quarterback if they got Andy Dalton.
I would think teams would improve in the NFL. I don't know exactly what teams those would be. I would have to go down that list of teams.
Yeah, but about half is where, I mean, that's a major statement, I think. I don't disagree with.
Yeah, I think he's a lot better than he's been given credit for. I think there was look, he took the Bengals to the postseason 5 years in a row. That's never happened in that franchise.
It probably will never happen again.
I know. And I think there was a lot of dysfunction, a lot of injuries. The Marvin Lewis tenure came to an end. Last year was a bit of a mess. It's why they turned back to him later in the season, because they realized he was an upgrade over the quarterback play that they were getting.
Oh, well, Finley was horrible.
Yeah.
But and it shows they were done with him and with Dalton. And I think that it probably somewhat affected the dynamic on the team. And that's another reason you could say, let's not overly emphasize last year. But what's going to be interesting in a minute, we're going to look at a quarterback he could replace, and we'll compare last year to this player's last year. I'm RJ Bo, straight out of Vegas. So what team, who gets him? He's an asset. Who gets him? Many people say Andy Dalton's going to go to New England. I don't think so. And here's why. The best version that Andy Dalton is, that 15th, 14th best quarterback, probably isn't good enough to win a Super Bowl. History tells us that middle-of-the-road guy isn't good enough to win a Super Bowl. Belichick's trying to win Super Bowls. And I don't think it's obvious to Belichick, certainly not, that Andy Dalton's better than Stidham. So as a backup, as a veteran backup, I think that Belichick would love him. But you're not going to get him for that role. It's Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I'm predicting. Now, I got a theory on this. Why do you think so?
Well, I think there's the ties to Jay Gruden. I think he played really well under Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden's now in Jacksonville as their offensive coordinator, and it feels like that's a good spot to where if Gardner Minshew doesn't perform to what they think he can perform to, then you've got a guy who doesn't bring any of the ego, none of the drama attached with it. He's going to be a good enough teammate and a good enough backup, a la Nick Foles, that you bring him in, and he can step right in and play Jay Gruden's system.
Well, you just said something that I hadn't even thought of, which is if he comes in to compete with Minshew and doesn't get it, he's not going to be disruptive.
No.
Andy Dalton is not going to be disruptive. And I think another reason I like this, the Jay Gruden thing is gigantic, a lot of success there. They're familiar with each other when Jay Gruden OC at Cincinnati for years. And then finally, Jacksonville has been strangely inactive when it comes to quarterbacks. It doesn't seem like they're really looking at anyone. It seems like they have an irrational confidence in the stash, in Minshew. And let's talk about Andy Dalton and Minshew. Last year, we would say Andy Dalton had a career worst year, blah, blah, blah. He was 26 and 27 in QBR was Andy Dalton and Minshew. So what we're saying here is a guy that's supposedly having his worst year ever, and I think he probably did, versus a guy who got to go through some offenses the first time, and we've seen this time and time again, a young quarterback, he hasn't played yet, they don't have tape on him, he plays pretty well a couple games. You might remember all those accidental starters last year, I think they started out like 14-0 against the spread, like over 3 weeks.
Yeah.
How many of them were even playing at the end of the year? Not hardly any. Minshew came back. So to me, when you got a guy that had the advantage of those first games where no one knew his style, his limitations, especially when you're a sixth-round pick, you've got limitations, and you end up, there's only four or five people worse than you in QBR. I don't see that Minshew is anything but a very long-shotty type starter, maybe one day. The idea you're going to give the franchise to him, it makes no sense to me. And it really makes me think Jacksonville has been waiting for Dalton. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And I think that Doug Marrone and his situation, there's a lot of people surprised that he's even back with Jacksonville to begin with. The fact that he was brought back, I think it's safe to say this is most likely his last chance to try and save his job. And I don't think he's totally comfortable going into the season with Gardner Minshew, who was very up and down last season in a brand new offense under Jay Gruden, and not having a fail-safe plan in place in case they get off to an 0-2 or 0-3 start. That's why Andy Dalton makes a lot of sense.
See, I think it's bigger than that. I think if Dalton signs, I would bet him to be the favorite to play more games. If you said, hey, who's going to start more games in 2020, even if Minshew gets the first crack at it, I'd take Dalton. What would you do?
No, I would take Dalton.
All right. So here's what we're going to do. Take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Fournette on Jacksonville. You might say, why? Well, 50-year option decision is coming up on Sunday. And also, Mitch Trubisky, $24 million? Is that what you're paying for Mitch? I don't know what the Bears are going to do.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will get into the player option market for two individuals.
I tell you, Jonas, that was a heck of a first segment we had.
All on Andy Dalton. Who would have thought?
I mean, I hope they double taped that, you know, because even if there was a mistake, somehow it didn't tape. You got to have a backup. What did we talk about there? Well, obviously released, obviously not traded for because of the size of his contract, $18 million or so. Now they're thinking, hey, a team can get him for $8 million. That really matters. You get him for $8 million, that means something. And who's he going to go to? New England? A lot of people think. I don't think so. I think that you're going to see Stidham get his chance. Jacksonville, you were on it. I agree. Why Jay Gruden? That history. And strangely inactive Jacksonville with just Minshew inactive in the quarterback market. Hey, cool nickname, the Stash. I don't want the guy who was picked in the sixth round. You know, we did the trivia yesterday, I think it was, right? Who's the quarterbacks picked after the fourth round, I guess is the way we're doing it now, that's been any good in the last, century, in the last 20 years, let's say. And obviously Tony Romo, obviously Tom Brady, and then who?
Gardner Minshew. Yeah.
Yeah. So what we mean is Minshew, who finished like 26th or 27th in QBR last year, you know, he's not the guy that's the exception yet. Do you want your franchise? And as you said so correctly, with the coach on his last chance, it would seem, do you want to put your career on the Stash and only the Stash? I don't think so. So now we're going to talk about Fournette and other things. It's a great day to join us. This is the fastest growing show on Fox Sports Radio. Audiences doubled, more than doubled in the last year. Why? Because of you, the listener. Appreciate it so much. And listen, you got any friends? Tell them. That's the way we grow. And in a way, we've got a lot of responsibility. The only sports betting, you know, Vegas-centric show on a major sports network on radio. There's TV ones, and those are fine. But radio is my first love. It's obviously yours, too. You're listening. It's a love. And we're the one. If this thing keeps succeeding, I think you're going to see a lot of these shows, and I welcome the competition, and for the industry, I welcome it. And if somehow we don't, and again, Jonas, the odds are pretty good we're going to do it. We're doing it. But a little help, we'd appreciate it. So thank you so much. Right here in Las Vegas, by the way, what would you guess, Jonas, the temperature is, if you just had a guess?
I would say 91.
98 degrees.
Wow.
And the neon is still off, soon to be on.
So, RJ, speaking of the Jacksonville Jaguars, they're one of the teams rumored to be a potential landing spot for quarterback Andy Dalton following his release from the Cincinnati Bengals earlier today. We talked about that earlier. Another big decision for Jacksonville involves their starting running back, Leonard Fournette, and whether or not to pick up his fifth-year rookie option.
Boy, this just goes to show you how much the NFL media, the NFL decision makers have changed in just the last 10 years. Because if I told you you've got a highly drafted running back, right? Literally the fourth pick in the 2017 draft, Leonard Fournette. And I told you last year he had career highs in rushing yards, receptions, reception yards, yards from scrimmage. And he's entering his fourth year. So his third year of three so far, career highs and all that. You'd be thinking, wow, that's going well. And especially if the career highs are rushing 1,152 yards. Receptions, 76. Think about that now. I mean, it's like almost 100 receptions.
Yeah.
And he had 522 receiving yards. And so his yards from the line of scrimmage was almost 1,700 for net just last year. But the conversation is, does anyone even want to trade for him? And his contract, let's be clear, next year it's set. It's his fourth year. Is only $4.1 million. Why no trade market?
I mean, he's a tough one to figure out. I wonder if people worry about the wear and tear on him, if he's really a guy who they feel like maybe peaked, and maybe a lot of his totals last year were in garbage time when games.
But when you
were
don't win, I mean, running backs get in garbage time when you don't win a lot of games.
Yeah, he's. I think he came in. I actually think he suffers a little bit from the hype from college, to where when he came out of college, when he was at LSU, he was so good and so much better than everybody else that people look at his career as being maybe a little bit of a disappointment to start off with, when the reality is he has put up some numbers. He was a big part of the reason why they were in an AFC title game and 5 minutes away from a Super Bowl a couple of years ago. So I think he's been a little bit better than probably people anticipate, but I think the wear and tear is probably the number one factor.
Now, it could be this, and I'm not saying it is, but if you actually look at his three-year career numbers, his rushing attempts, 666. Now, again, I'm starting to say, I'm not into numerology, as they call it. You know, there was a real good movie called Pi, in which the guy was always looking for patterns and numbers. He was like a mad scientist type. I don't know if you saw Pi. It's a great, it's a very low budget movie. And it's the same guy who did Requiem for a Dream and The Wrestler later. So a really good director. But Aaron Rodgers, who I'm not a fan of, I'm not saying he's satanic, not saying that, but he, you know, his cash bonus in 2018 was 66 point, like, close to 6 million. I thought, oh, that seems weird. Now Fournette, no one wants him. And just coincidentally, 666 rushing attempts in his career. What do you think? Any truth to that?
I mean, we could probably run with it. Depending on how long we go without sports, we can turn that into a story.
That could be like a show.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Is the various strange numbers. Then I'd have to pay for people to sift through Pro Football Reference. I mean, forget that. We got enough people on the payroll. You know, that's something I feel great about. Not one, you know, at pregame.com, not one person did we have to furlough or let go? And again, I guess it speaks to feeling good about your team, because if you have the ability, even if you think, oh, it'd be nice not to have to pay him for a couple months, you want to keep those people, right? So in a way, and obviously some companies aren't able to think like that because of payroll. So it's not like everyone that got laid off or furloughed wasn't valued. Sometimes it's about cash flow. But yeah, the team we've got has been doing great jobs helping me sound smart. You know, you help me with that. But what I would say is, Fournette, I think it's back to this vague sense of an attitude problem. You know, just wouldn't you say in general, because he's saying things, hey, Cam Newton maybe should be. It just feels like he's a disruption. And I can't put my finger, and I'm going to ask you, on anything you would say, hey, if he was going to date your daughter, here's why you would really have a problem with it. Can you point your finger at anything in particular?
I can't. I mean, he's had a couple of public Twitter spats with Jamal Adams.
Who hasn't?
With a former teammate of his at LSU. So there was that. The saying, you know, and appreciate the honesty that he was honest enough to say, yeah, I would welcome in Cam Newton. Nothing against Gardner Minshew, but, you know, Cam Newton's a former MVP and he knows him well. So he was honest about it, but probably not the best thing you want from a teammate entering year two for a quarterback, I would say.
I don't think that's him purposely trying to be disruptive. It's him maybe not thinking the next move through in regards to how people are going to take it. But if that is what you're pointing at, I don't want him dating my – that's going to be the new threshold here, is would you want the guy dating your daughter? And if no, why would you want him as a teammate?
Well, it depends on if they pick up his option or not. There's a financial benefit.
That's pretty good there, right? I mean, if your love of your daughter is for sale, yes, you're right. I guess I'm the innocent one here, which is kind of sad, Jonas. I can't lie. That's Jonas Knox. I'm RJ Bell. And that was funny, though, is I think we don't know what goes on inside the locker room. And the Aaron Rodgers thing, to whatever degree we've been talking about that he wasn't a loved teammate, let's say last week, the idea that 1 year in, LaFleur saying that, you know, it's being said now, tired of his act, was what the 38-year reporter said on The Herd. I mean, wow, that is objectively giving us tangible proof of it's not just whispers. This guy's not liked, it seems. Especially if your coach, I mean, if anything, LaFleur's entire career, at least the beginning of it as a head coach, could hitch to the Aaron Rodgers wagon. That would be great, wouldn't it? Well, apparently not.
Yeah.
So I think the fact that Jacksonville's looking to deal him after career years in some ways, though I do think if you look at the efficiency numbers, he had 4.3 yards per carry, which is right around average. So if you got a workhorse that's going to get you average yards, that's actually not that easy, because the theory is he's carrying the ball a bunch, so he's not going to be as efficient, both with fatigue and they know he's going to get the ball, but it's still not world class, right? He's a, last year you could say a slightly or an above average back who got a lot of carries.
It's almost like Adrian Peterson, the latest version of Adrian Peterson,
yeah,
that we've,
yep,
gotten to where it's not anything close to where he was, but he still produces when he gets in. I mean, he's still putting up yards. He's still breaking off a long run every now and again, and there's still a spot for him in the league.
And it seems like to me that, and again, it's always easy when someone says, you know, over Denver is where I decided that we were going to do that. I was going to do this, and I was no longer going to do that. It's like losing weight on New Year's Day. You know, how many proclamations? I bet you don't suffer that at all. If one of your buddies who isn't in great shape is telling you about his big regimen coming up in early January, I'm betting you have trouble even holding back your disdain.
I just say I'll check back in March. Like, I mean, everybody's got a plan, and then you get a couple of weeks into it, and all of a sudden you veer off the reservation, and there we go. Like,
well, listen, everyone can't drink 180 ounces of water a day like you, Jonas. So, I mean, and to me, but the sense is Fournette went away, I guess, and came back and said he had an epiphany. That worries me sometimes too, right? So if you know enough to know you're not doing it right, maybe you shouldn't be doing it. But, hey, listen, I've had epiphanies myself in life, so I get it. And I do think, last thing on Fournette, and then remember, this fifth-year option for next year will be $8 million, I think. Let me get the exact number. It's going to be $8.4 million. Now, that's getting him up in the top 8 or 9 paid running backs.
Yeah.
So that, you know, obviously he doubles. I think they pick it up. I can't imagine they're just going to renounce his rights at that point. This will be for 2021, but they got to pick it up by Sunday. By Sunday. And speaking of that, literally the decision of the week, if not the month, do you pay, if you're the Bears, Trubisky, $24 million for the 2021 season? It's either that or he won't likely be a Bear.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will continue to take a look around a busy offseason in the National Football League. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
And let me tell you, great update there. And the CNBC article was a travesty. I mean, next final segment of the hour of the show, I'm just going to lambast this. Like, no, I mean, I actually had each of our team here at pregame literally go through that article and write up to me what facts, what like sourced facts were in here. And it was like such a dearth of them, such a lack of them. And I in no way blame any news guy for looking at the headline, glance at the article, seeing people are talking about it and putting it in there. But it really shows you how misinformation happens, because if you actually did you happen to read it, Jonas, the CNBC article?
No, I hadn't.
Do me a favor. Between now and tomorrow, we're back 6 Eastern tomorrow, give it a quick read, because I'm just going to ask you, like, what were the facts in there? We'll actually break it down, because it was shockingly lacking. And again, if it's something that's important to you, if you're betting on it, for example, read the original stuff. because sometimes it's exactly the way it's presented when it's aggregated out there, and other times it's nothing like it's presented. And it's not like that guy, whatever the name of the author is, he was not a known guy to me. It's not like he's going to suffer for it. He's just going to he's going to get paid either on clicks, or his guy's going to say, hey, great story, got picked up. And what happens? It affirms the actions that aren't, let's say, necessarily aligned with the truth, with reality, but more of fudging things, of making them extra hot, extra juicy, clickbait. And I get it. That's the world we've created. That's the economic model. And if someone's going to make less money for being less clicky, I'm not sure you can ask that. So it really gets back, unfortunately, to each of us got to make that decision. And then if it becomes not as economically viable to be so clickbaity, people will stop doing it. But it's hard. It's hard. So how do you, I mean, obviously being in the media and hot takes on radio being an example of clickbait, but just a different way. I mean, is there a solution to you? I mean, other than people just not responding to it?
I just think people look at headlines and they don't actually want to do their own research. They go by what a headline reads and think that tells the whole story. You could literally put a headline out saying the most crazy thing in the world. Tom Brady is retiring, and people will just run with the headline. And then if you actually click the link, it would be a joke, and people would just run with the headline. It's like an April Fool's joke inside, but most people just don't want to actually bother to do their own research or to do their own digging. Even when it's given out via another website like a Pro Football Talk or ESPN, I always click the link attached to the original story because I want to see what was said in the original story, not what was edited to fit those other websites. Not that they would do anything intentionally out of bounds. I just want to know what was actually said, as opposed to trusting that you know another source is gonna another site is gonna have their own version of what was in the article.
And it was exactly what we exposed with Mike Lombardi's where he was misquoted. Is the talk was, oh, Tua flunked multiple physicals. That's what they took away from what Lombardi said. I reached out to him and said, Mike, what you really, because I know Mike a little bit. I said, what you really meant, or is this right? And he said, absolutely right. And it's like, literally, it was reported everywhere that Tua flunked two or multiple physicals. And it's like, no, he got flunked. And again, I think Lombardi used inartful language, but he said, well, he was flunked by teams, meaning he was eliminated because of his health background, not that he was actually looked at by the doctors. And that seems like a major difference. But yeah. And I don't say this to be critical at all, because I think most people got that wrong. Is Colin was talking about it the other way, so were the odd couple after us. And I love those guys personally, and I really like their show. And obviously I have a real long and strong relationship with Colin. It's not about that. It's like everyone got it wrong. And it just goes to show you, like, one word's a little vague and the whole sports world is talking about something that just isn't true. And that's why, to me, the reason I love Straight Out of Vegas and I love our audience, we got the sharpest audience out there. You know why? They're either betting their money on their opinions and thus they take it seriously, or even if they don't bet, they're fans that want to know more than their buddies. They want to get it right. And our audience is sharp because they want to get it right. And here's a segue, Jonas. Will the Bears get it right? Because really, it's $24 million. So let me ask you, because I could tease this, but I'm going to ask you, and you answer now, then I'm going to tease a bet I'm going to make on this. Do you pay $24 million to have Trubisky in 2021, so not next season, but the season after? They got to decide by Sunday. And here's the, I know it's easy to say no, but if you say no now, you probably don't play him in this year too much. You try to go with Foles, because how, I mean, I've never seen a guy not get a 50-year option then sign with that same team. So that means you're saying goodbye to your number two pick in the draft. Do you have one more year where you want to see from him? But to have that year, this upcoming year, you got to pay for the next year. What do you do?
I would decline his fifth-year option. Mm. And if, for whatever reason, he's called upon this year and he plays well, then I would strongly consider franchising him and putting the tag on him the year after.
Which means you're paying him even more.
But it's, to me, it's worth another year, and knowing that I can turn the page if need be. And if he surprises me, then that's a good problem to have.
But will you then at that point assume Foles is going to be your starter?
If by declining the option?
Yes.
No, I would keep it open. I would keep the competition open, and then I think ultimately Foles will win the job. Although with the shorter offseason, who knows, Trubisky might have a serious advantage going into the season.
Boy, you're right. Now, you bring up some real complexity there. Have you ever seen that happen, though? A team renounce the fifth year and then retain them in a year?
No, I don't think so.
So, I mean, there must be something about the psychology of that doesn't lend to it. All right, so we're going to take our last break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you a way I think you can bet this decision coming up Sunday.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. So the big decision comes this Sunday, RJ. Will the Chicago Bears exercise the fifth-year player option on one Mitch Trubisky?
And I'm going to give you a way to bet like a pro. Now, I know, Jonas, you won't do that.
No,
but
not at all.
Here's the way to do it for our wannabe aspiring pros out there. This is a bet, and let me ask you, here's the current odds. Who will start at quarterback for the Bears' first game of the 2020 season? And Trubisky is an underdog. He's plus 125, 100 wins you 125, so small dog. Favorite Foles right around minus 150, about 150 to win 100. There's two possibilities come by Sunday. We don't know exactly when. My guess is if we don't hear it by end of business Friday, tomorrow, it's a sign of no, they won't pick it up. Because I think if they wanted to pick him up, they don't mind that commitment being discussed by the talk shows like ours. I think if they're pretty much saying we failed with the second pick 3 years ago, they'd rather that be talked about less. So in a way, I think the odds of it being no goes up, meaning no 50-year option pickup if it gets to be Friday afternoon and they haven't done it. But all that said, a pro's not going to speculate. He's going to be watching, watching, watching. And the second it's announced, and let's talk about the possibilities. No, we're not picking up Trubisky's. He is going to bet Nick Foles at minus 150 as aggressively as he can to be the starter week one. And I know it's not a sure thing at that point, but don't you agree Foles becomes the more likely starter?
I actually think it's Trubisky at that point.
Even if they don't pick him up?
Yeah.
Wow. So you're going to say you're paying a guy real money, Foles, and we're going to renounce pretty much where in the history of the world there's never been a player that renounced a team renounced the fifth year and he came back and played with them the fifth year. So you're pretty much saying unless it's a once-ever thing – and I'm not saying it's impossible. Trubisky's gone after this upcoming season, but we're going to have a default to him over Foles that we paid real money to have?
Yeah, I think there's going to be a short leash.
I think it's going to be the shortest leash, which is he doesn't start.
Yeah, I would lean towards Trubisky.
Well, let's say this. We might have a good bet on Monday. I'm going to offer you a chance to back that up. To me, I would want if Trubisky's not picked up, I want to bet Foles minus 150. If he is picked up, they're making a huge commitment, and they're going to give him every chance, and I want to bet Trubisky plus 125. I think most pros would agree with that.
Are those odds going to – now, if they make
they
the
will
decision,
move.
Yeah, so how much do you think those are going to move?
That's interesting. I think in a significant way, and I think they'll move within the first half hour.
Yeah.
And that's what makes the pros different. Right? The pros are going to be able to act quick enough to get down mighty quick and get the good number. Most of us or most non-pros aren't able to do that. And that's the thing, Jonas, and we talk about this all the time. Our goal with Straight Out of Vegas, our goal at pregame.com, is to say however much you want to commit yourself to betting like a pro, we will give you the roadmap. We'll give you the playbook. But don't feel bad if you're not willing to make the huge commitment. There's a lot of ways to bet more like a pro that really isn't about a lot of effort. It's rather just a way to go about it. But the last 30, 40% of being a pro is all about the effort. And Fezzik, we make fun of him. Oh, he didn't watch this Jordan doc. He didn't do this that a typical talk radio guy would. But here's the thing. He's doing these other things, like sitting at home and telling the wife, we can't go to dinner yet. I got to see if he's picked up or not. And if he is, we're going to bet it. And oh, by the way, we'll probably buy dinner with our winnings. That's the life of a professional bettor.
The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are straight out of Vegas, back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!